The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John, Lance, Adele here with you now for the next couple of hours here on ESPN 97.5. What a game. Came down, one score game. That was nail-biter. Didn't know how that would turn out. Tom Savage bringing you back, and then all of a sudden just something unfortunate at the end of the game.
Didn't expect that.
Didn't see that.
Of all the things I was looking for, it wasn't a Tom Savage turnover, I can tell you that.
How about Matt Hasselbeck this morning? He's breaking down Tom Savage's throw into that Tampa 2, and he throws it right to the middle linebacker trailing the play. And Matt Hasselbeck is breaking it down like, what are you...
What are you wasting time for on this? He underthrew by about 8 yards. Why are you wasting everyone's time?
Dell thinks that if he didn't turn around, it would have hit him in the back of the head. That's how poor that throw was.
Tom Savage.
And I don't think he had to keep running even. If he had just stopped and it just stood there, it would have hit him in the back of the head. It's just terrible.
Like, hey, Tom, that hurt.
Hey, Tom.
Tom, that's not funny.
Tom.
Have you ever seen the guy who taped his own video? It's a YouTube video. It's the Tom Savage video, but it's made to Tom Sawyer, and he's taping it, and it's modern day warrior today, Pitt Pride, mean Tom Savage, mean pride. And then it's, you can hear the instrumental of Rush in the background, and it's pretty, it's so bad, it's good. It's one of those things. So if you can find that, Dell, I think you need to have some of that in your life, at least just to say you've seen or heard this terrible video. You know what? I will say this for that game last night. So I had, you know.
What?
My expectations were 2 or 3, right? We talked about that. Like, what's your what's your excitement level on game? Right. 2 or 3?
I had a 1.
Yeah, you had a 1. Mm-hmm. Did you get yours a 1 also? You and Raheel were at 1s.
I was a 1.
Ones. Okay, so today, last night, I'll say this for the game at least. That was an incredibly physical game. There was some big hitting going on throughout the game. Like, play after play after play, the Texans were hitting hard, the Ravens. Like, it was a physical game. There was some they were out there competing. So I'll give the Texans credit for this. They were really competing. There was one where Joel Heath and Alex Collins. Alex Collins picked up Joel Heath on he was unblocked as part of their pass protection, and it's up to Alex Collins, the running back, to pick him up. Alex Collins lays a big shoulder into it, and you can hear the pop really loud. Then he turns around to chase Flacco out of the pocket, and Alex Collins gets him again, but Joel Heath sees him coming. So, and once again, wait, who's number 97? Is that not Joel Heath?
Yeah.
It's Joel Heath, right? Yeah. And Joel Heath sees him coming to block him. So basically it just turns into they're just trying to hit each other the second time. And then Alex Collins, after he bounces off, goes and gets him a third time. I'm like, my gosh, Alex Collins is about that life. But Clowney was hitting. Clowney played really well yesterday. Yeah. Was run. It was all. I mean, Clowney was a maniac. And, and the one thing about Clowney that was the knock on him coming out of the college is work ethic.
Yeah.
Work ethic, effort. Yeah. I talked to a scout who told me when you go to practice there, he might practice. You just talk to Steve Spurrier, like, hey, where's the big boy? Where's kind of, oh, shoot, he's in practicing today. He's just still sitting in a boot. Just don't want to practice today. He's just going to take his time off. Like, is he hurt? Well, he's just in a boot. So is he playing this weekend?
Well.
Oh, he'll play. He's just in a boot. So he's hurt? Well, he's in a boot. So he's not hurt, but he's wearing a boot? Well, you said it. I didn't. So before you know it.
He's 93.
Oh, Angelo Blackson. Okay. Angelo Blackson is 97.
92 is done, and 98 is Reader. I mean, I just.
It's so much fun. So it's much, hard to. Yeah. So you had.
It's so interesting.
So Clowney, you know, it kind of started off like Mario Williams, his career. Like, after the first year, like, And then,
he ain't, though.
Here we are in year three. But remember Mario's second year. Mario's like, whoa, Mario's pretty good. Mario's third year. Go look at the numbers.
I know numbers. Except this. And it's all about, and you say it's all about effort. And he was exactly what the old ball coach was talking about. Because Mario would get a sack, 15 sacks or whatever he got, 12 right, to 15 right, sacks, whatever. And what else did he do? He did not affect winning at all.
Clowney
affects winning.
Yeah, Clowney is a dude. Clowney plays hard all over the field. The one thing that has shocked me, and I'll never forget, it was 2 years ago, Pat Starr had a vine that he did where he showed Clowney chasing a play across the field, down the field, like 30 yards. I'm like, holy crap. You know, that's not normal. I watch a lot of tape now. That's not what you normally see on the backside in any level. And after I saw that, I started paying attention to Clowney's effort. Dude, he does the same thing right now. Jadeveon Clowney will run all over the field after you. So I'll give it up to him. He may love going and sitting at the craps tables because there's only been about five people who have taken pictures at various times of him at craps tables down at Tillman's place.
So?
I mean, well,
yeah,
in season. But whatever. Maybe he got hot. It's not a long...
Ballplayer can't do anything on a Tuesday?
I'm not sure he's supposed to, but legally, what? With the league. I'm not, he could be suspended, but... Yep. Look, all I'll tell you is this. Let that man throw his dice if he's going to chase plays all over the
you're
field.
You're damn right.
I don't want Mario Williams
screw you,
sitting
Goodell.
There doing
your man
nothing.
Wants to throw dice, can throw dice.
Yeah, you can throw it. Well, you got to play.
Thanks.
That was it.
I'm sorry. Let's hear from Tom Savage. Hey, Tom,
oh,
do you think...
Oh, that wasn't Tom Savage. This is...
Okay.
We good?
Yep. They're very similar.
Yep. Okay, let's hear what Tom's... This is real.
This is real.
This is Tom Savage's press conference that nobody showed up to because they're at Bill O'Brien's press conference, right?
Right. Everybody was at Bill O'Brien's.
Here's Tom Savage's real press conference, not edited. This is his real press conference from yesterday after he threw an interception in the game.
Go.
You good?
Good. Great.
That was it.
No, is that Adele? Did you edit that? Cut out questions or what happened there?
No,
that was all.
Nobody was there.
No one.
That's a little. And see, I feel bad for Tom Savage after you throw a couple of picks and you fumble again.
Why do you feel
then
bad?
Nobody wants to show up for his press
you
conference.
Feel good for
I mean,
him.
I feel terrible
you should
for
feel good
him.
For him. He was happy.
No.
You think he was sad?
No, even still.
Tom, do you think that there's a chance?
Do you think that you maybe didn't see the
who's
guy
the
coming
string quarterback
from the
now?
Backside?
What? Who's third string quarterback now? Who's his backup now?
I have no idea.
Who's his backup now?
Josh Johnson's gone, right?
Josh Johnson's gone. Weedon's gone.
Oh, TJ.
Oh, yeah, TJ.
Bill, do you think there's any chance we may see the triumphant return of playoff-winning quarterback TJ Yates?
We'll see the Yates. Daenerys Targaryen, that's his introduction. The triumphant return of playoff winning quarterback.
You may think we may see the father of interceptions. He is TJ Yates, performer of miracles. Mother, father of interceptions.
Beater of
Tom Savage.
Beater of the Bengals. Yes.
Tom Savage, the father of fumbles.
Destroyer of Marvin Lewis's world.
No,
the Texans. Texans will F up a Bengals game. Now, don't let the Bengals step to the Texans. They are their daddies.
Oh, yeah.
There's one team the Texans are the daddy of. It's the Bengals.
Even this year, they beat the Bengals.
Even this year.
Even this year. Deshaun's first ever.
And Deshaun was terrible.
He was terrible.
One touchdown run.
That was all you needed.
That's all you needed. Because Andy Dalton was in one of those things where Dalton looks like he's in a coma. Like, he'll have a stretch of two or three games. Like, I think Andy Dalton might be playing in a coma, an actual real coma.
Well, at that time, could he have been worse at the beginning of the season?
He was terrible.
So, Mark Mangino is going to... Now, for those of you, there are probably a lot of you out there that don't know who Mark Mangino is. Because if you haven't been watching football... I mean, if you just started watching football...
He hasn't been as relevant over the last few years.
Get this. Mark Mangino actually had Kansas winning football games.
Oh, they were a real team.
They were a... Now, listen.
The last guy who did that.
Did you hear what I said? Mark Mangino won football games, and Did he win the racing? Did they win the title, or did Missouri win that
Missouri did.
Missouri won that year.
Or did they play in the last game of the year, and then Missouri won, then Missouri lost
what
Oklahoma?
What kind of world did we live in where Kansas and Missouri were scrapping for
the
title?
Big 12.
Chase Daniel versus Todd Reesing.
Yeah.
Classic quarterback matchup.
Yes.
I forgot about that
Todd
guy.
Reesing, all 5'2". He was like El Tuve out there, running around, making plays. So anyway, he's coming in studio. We're going to talk to him about the college football playoff and all the stuff going on here. I think he's looking for work, too. I think he might want to work somewhere.
Where's a co-host?
You saw
David, a third? Like a co-host?
Is he going to be with you guys?
On the bench?
Okay.
Yeah. There's space on the bench.
Mark Mangino at one point had Kansas at 12-1, and he won an Orange Bowl.
How about
at
that?
Kansas.
Okay. For you kids out there, that you know Kansas with the goofy helmets, with the Jayhawk on the side, and it's like
a
cartoon.
And the KU on the other side.
Yeah, it's like a cartoon, you know. They actually won a championship and went to the Orange Bowl and won. Who'd they beat in the Orange Bowl?
I got to look that up.
Yeah,
that
no one
right
knows.
That's probably Virginia Tech. And I was right. Virginia Tech, 24-21, yeah.
How unbelievable is that? So that he's going to come in here, and I think he'd like to work again. Now, there was an issue at the school about
a board op.
But no, he doesn't want to work here. He wants a job in
Sports
college.
Is he writing for Fred?
He doesn't want a podcast.
Is he writing with Eric Sandler?
Charlie? I'm telling you, I know for a fact, Charlie does not like having co-hosts. I do not like this Charlie and Mark Mangino combo.
We're not putting Perrin Mangino and Charlie, okay?
Don't put him with Ken Hoffman where Ken does his French fry trick
Or the left guard thing. Good Lord.
Oh, my God.
How did you answer that, by the way? You had to fill out a questionnaire from Ken Hoffman.
I answered it legitimately. I'm like, well, I said the move from tackle to guard, it's really not moving from guard to guard, but from tackle to guard, it's like asking a right-handed pitcher to throw left-handed. You get used to the muscle memory. I just gave him a straight, real,
good Lord,
dry answer.
How can you possibly? Ken Hoffman is Lance. Here's the age-old question: how can a left tackle
by
possibly?
He means he's been asking this for 10 years. Same question.
He's on the left side with the guy right in front of him, and he blocks him.
He heard me
one
time.
How can he possibly move to the right side and block a guy that's right over him?
He heard me and John Harris one time talk about how it's tough. It can be tough to move from tackle to guard, and so this has been his whole life has been trying to clown us about moving positions. By the way, we have a Raheel sent this to our text group. It's me, you, and Dell.
What's the name of that text group?
Well,
Bleep Boys.
What boys? The Bleep Boys.
Yeah, it's the Truck Boys.
Only
not truck.
Not Truck Boys.
And it's BOIS.
Yeah, because that's cool.
And it says Tom Savage conducted interviews in the. This is Aaron Wilson said Tom Savage conducted interviews in the locker room, and he was a stand-up guy who was accountable for his play. The media wasn't in the press room when he entered. We were in the locker room. He stayed at his locker though and made sure he spoke with us before it closed. Aaron Wilson, you know what I call this? Aaron trying to ruin a funny bit.
It's not funny when you drop
that knowledge. It's not funny when he's like
Aaron.
When he drops this.
When has Aaron Wilson ever been funny?
Well, he was a stand-up guy. He entered all this. No, it's better with the soundbite.
Here, let's hear
this version.
This
is funnier.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
Let's compare the two versions. Go ahead, Dell.
You good?
He's breathing heavy.
Great. I like that. Great on the way out.
Great.
Now, is that funnier or is this funnier? Tom Savage conducted interviews.
No,
he was a stand-up guy. Who there wasn't anyone in the media room when he entered. We were in the locker room. He stayed at his locker though, and he made sure he spoke with us before it closed. Like we're trying to have some fun with this audio.
Yep, we good. Yep. 713 ESPN 97.5 713-780-377. Oh, Longhorn Scott is going to come on
there
with
you
us.
Go. Hey,
there's
by the way,
a blast from the past.
Houston lost, but Houston also won last night. So we'll tell you about the winning Houston team because somebody messed around and got another triple double. Mm.
That did happen. Mm-hmm. It's a really good basketball team, by the way.
They're really good.
And I'm starting to think that, and we can talk about this on the other side, that this is not an existential season.
No.
Hey, Lance, did you miss this? What, the fire alarm going off while we're doing the show? Did you miss this?
Just random fire alarms?
Yes.
Good.
We're on the fourth floor. Right. We could die, or we could take a break right here on ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could
to find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, for those of you that were really looking forward to the Longhorn Scott call, you're just going to have to wait. Daryl Morey is with us, right? Because we started to talk. Somebody in this city started to talk Rockets basketball.
I brought it up. I said, well, we won't come back. One of the Houston teams won. Yeah. And then all of a sudden a fire alarm went off, and Daryl said, you almost started talking Rockets, so they pulled the fire alarm.
He's with us right now on ESPN 97.5. What's up, Daryl?
Good morning. Welcome back to the air, guys.
We appreciate
it. Deep Blue checking in.
I know.
Hey, Deep Blue, how are you?
Daryl, tell the truth now. I told John this. That touched a little bit of a nerve when you first heard Deep Blue, which, by the way, I wish we coined it, but I can't. A guy named Jose, one of the listeners named Jose, coined it.
Gotcha.
But it was a pretty genius, you know, Deep Blue is the computer that played Kasparov and Karpov.
It's a good thing you gave him credit to Jose.
Yeah.
I was a little worried about knowing who came up with that.
But did that bought, you were new in town. We said,
oh, you were crushing me.
Not even remotely. Awesome. Well, Dennis Lindsay was my guy because he had been in a fantasy league. And then you were in a fantasy league with me 2 years.
Dennis was amazing.
Didn't you just collect running backs? Wasn't that your thing in the fantasy league?
It's true. 2 years ago, Daryl had like 8 running backs in our auction.
No wide receivers.
Why is he doing this? And it's because he wanted to turn and flip them for more.
Well, and then I think I proposed a rule change to add to go to 3 running backs. So
I know this is going to shock you. Every week that we would have our transit, or you know, the waiver wire pickup came out, it was just Maury's eels, like 9 moves every week. It was incredible.
Shocking.
It was incredible.
And then you were like emailing me, hey, do you know that each one costs $1? I was like, I'm aware.
You're down 1,000 already.
Daryl. Anyway, hey, man, we were just watching James on ESPN, as a matter of fact, looking good. Yeah, I was just saying before we went to break that this season isn't feeling as existential as I thought it was. It did that nothing matters because it's going to be Golden State. Guess what? Looks like other teams can play too, and you guys are the main one that can play right now.
Yeah, Golden State is obviously extremely good, but our goal is to get right there with them. And, you know, if we keep playing this way and we don't really have, you know, any reason to feel like we can't, you know, we feel like we're right there. I mean, they're the champs, so they've won 2 out of the last 3. So obviously we're not there yet, but we do feel like we've closed the gap considerably.
So we were watching, we were flipping back and forth. I got the dual receiver, so you just pause and go to the next one, pause. And so me and my kids were going back and forth between the Rockets game and the Texans game. And they wanted me to just, so we started staying on Rockets for longer. And, I mean, James really, really shot it well there in the first half. But, you know what's interesting is Chris Paul did not have a shooter's game at all. He's 1 for 7. He scored 4 points in the game. You'd never know it. In any other year, you might be talking about, man, Chris Paul only 4 points and blah, blah, blah. Chris Paul had 14 assists. James had a triple-double. There was a little stretch in the third quarter where it got, you know, defensively, there were some bad possessions defensively and offensively. And then the Rockets extended the lead again after just a little lull of about 3 minutes. And then it was just, you know, I don't know, Daryl, I had some of the same concerns. I knew you had to. There was a lot of pieces off the bench that I felt like, well, how's Daryl going to remake this roster now? Because they have to get Chris Paul. And you look at the bench. This bench is better than it was last year, without questions. Without question, Imba Mate and P.J. Tucker. You got another Chuck Hayes in here in P.J. Tucker. And that's, by the way, a compliment. I like what Chuck's limited, but I like what he did. Imba Mate is, I think, you know, you finally have a good long defender and a guy who can shoot it a little bit from the perimeter. And, you know, getting Tarik Black back is a good thing in terms of having a big there. And we already know Nene, you have to limit his minutes, but when he plays, he's still incredibly effective.
Well, I'll hang up and listen, Lance.
I can't believe you put together, like, I wasn't sure you'd have the money to put together a decent bench, but your bench is, it feels like it's pretty good.
Well, yeah, a couple of things. I'll say James Harden's playing the best basketball of his career. It's amazing to watch. To your point, Chris Paul contributes in so many ways, even if, to your point, it's not scoring.
Yeah, no assists. By the way, like, no turnovers yesterday. 14 assists, no turnovers.
Yeah, I think he has like 60 turnovers since he came back, and like two turnovers, three or some crazy. And like guys are shooting at such a high percentage of his shots. He's getting such quality looks. The way we were able to build the bench and add Chris Paul is because we did that trade early, and that allowed us to still have the ability to use our mid-level on PJ, use our non-bird rights to get Nene back. Adam Bamute. So it was, that trade happening early was really key to the depth we have this year.
Daryl Morey with us on ESPN 97.5. Daryl, is there anything surprising you in this NBA season? So, I mean, it's early, it's 20 games, and we're about at the quarter mark. Is there anything that's surprising you so far about the league?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Celtics are probably the biggest surprise. They lost one of the – Gordon Hayward's a really good player. And losing him, and then they've put together a historic defense so far. Now, sometimes that can be a little harder to sustain than a team that's offensively built. I'd say the Celtics are probably the team that's really surprised me on the good.
Is Oklahoma City surprising you?
I think they'll figure it out. I mean, they've got really talented players. Yeah, I think they'll figure it out. But yeah, they've obviously had a slow start. But the West is sort of, we've sort of run away, and so has Golden State. But then there's a big pack. Well, and the Spurs are obviously, they're just like machines. Somehow without Kawhi Leonard, they're still cranking out a million wins, which is amazing.
Yeah.
The rest of the West is in a big pack though, so like it's going to be pretty easy for OKC to climb back up once they start playing up to their potential, I think.
So, I was one of those guys who was very concerned about how James is going to do off the ball. Now you got a guy who needs to have the ball in his hands and Chris Paul. And we see how good Chris Paul is with the ball in his hands. I mean, if you watched any basketball, you already knew. But yesterday's a great example, I guess, because of the amount of possessions you have, it doesn't even matter. One guy has 14 assists, no turnovers. The other guy has 10 assists. I mean, I guess you want to – is this working out more smoothly? And Chris hasn't played a lot of the season. Is it working out more smoothly than you expected?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we thought there'd be a little more of an adjustment period. But honestly, we had – Coach McHale, who did such a good job with us for a bunch of years, he played with, I think, four Hall of Famers, maybe five, actually. And he said, look, if you got a bunch of smart, Hall of Fame level basketball players who all want to make it work, it's not that hard, actually. And, he's definitely right about that. Both these guys are very, very high basketball IQ players who just want to win the title at the phase of the career they're in. Obviously, they've all made as much money as they'll ever need. And so it's working smooth. No one's worried about their individual numbers. Everyone's just worrying about getting the W at the end of the day. And so far, 16-4, pretty insane right now.
I never heard. By the way, did you have any beef with what Kevin McHale said when he and James were going back and forth? I didn't feel like it was a cheap shot at all. I thought it was just a coach just speaking honestly about some things.
I thought it was a bit of a cheap shot.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I love Kevin. He did a great job for us, but I did feel like he was talking about inside locker room stuff that probably should have stayed there. Yeah.
Daryl Morey with us here on ESPN 97.5. It's gotta be. You got to be having some fun, man. This is this team is. It looks like it's having fun, and obviously all the winning. It seems to be that way.
Yeah. No. Be a title contender, and right now, if you we're beating people like 10 on average, And general, more than half the teams in history that have done that have gone on to win the title. Now, they didn't. There wasn't an all-time great team like Golden State most years. So, you know, we're rolling. We got to keep it up. We got to stay focused. And you know, we've had a little bit of an easier schedule, so we'll know a little bit more over the next few weeks when we start to play some of the tougher opponents in the league.
Does it seem like the, you know, spreading the season out, starting it earlier, that it's a little easier on the guys?
Yeah, that was fantastic by the league. Really, really good by the league. You know, we don't have any 4 and 5s. The number of back-to-backs, I think, is down to like 12 or 13. It really matters for these athletes. It's a big positive.
Especially teams that runs as much as you guys.
Yeah, that helps. And we're older. You know, we're the second or third oldest, you know, among the playoff teams. So, it does help us a lot.
Good stuff. Well, great start, man. And we appreciate you hanging. Thanks for listening. And thanks for the tweet yesterday. You got a lot of response.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And, you know, it is great to have you guys back on. You guys are like peas and carrots or something. Talk to you guys. See
you. We're peas and carrots.
Yeah, maybe if you're British, you like that.
No, nobody likes it. Nobody likes peas and carrots.
British people probably.
You think British people
go together like peas and carrots?
No,
lovely.
They put it in their pie.
This feels like a shepherd's pie. You go together like shepherd's. What's in shepherd's pie? Mash and peas and carrots and like
goat.
Oh, we call that a chicken pot pie.
Yeah, only they have goat in it. It's terrible. 7:30 ESPN 97.
Man, your bias has just leaked through, John.
Nah, yeah, I hate shepherd's pie. Yes, Daryl. Yes.
That's really Daryl's voice?
That's Daryl. Yeah. There, last time I was talking about the defense or something, and he said,
man, your bias has just leaked through, John.
That sounds like somebody from West Virginia.
Man,
or something.
Yeah. No, I know. That didn't sound
like from the. He's not from the Ozarks.
Listen. I hope he's not from the Ozarks.
Man, your bias has just leaked through, John.
Do you saw the Ozarks and the motel scenes? Why are you putting that on Daryl?
It wasn't just that.
That's all anyone remembers.
It wasn't the only scene.
That's the only scene that anyone remembers.
The little niece also electrocuted her uncles. That
well,
happened.
Yeah.
My daughter for Christmas.
And his daughter for Halloween.
For Halloween, I've dressed her up as Ruth Langmore.
That's a role model that we all can love.
Setting the bar high
for
his kids again.
Why do you have to wear this wig? Just shut up and act like you're breaking into a safe.
7:31.
You manage a strip club too. Remember, yeah. That's your character.
Here, I even bought her a Tupac T-shirt, and then it never came in.
Oh,
then you didn't really do it.
No, that's right.
All right, taking one here. 713-780-3776.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, some ugly things. Why do people have to be ugly on Twitter? Why can't they just be? Oh, by the way, peas and carrots is a Forrest Gump reference. Forrest and Jenny back together like peas and carrots. I didn't know that. Did you remember that? I guess, well, Deep Blue remembered it.
I never did that.
Yeah, apparently it was a thing. Jackie thinks she thinks that it's we're more like Franks and Beans, but whatever. I can't believe y'all are keeping Longhorn Scott on hold for this guy. That's Daryl Morey, Larry,
and point is still made.
Well, let's get Longhorn Scott in here then and see what's going on with Longhorn Scott. Hey, Longhorn Scott.
Top of the morning, fellas. How we doing?
Doing great, hey, man. How are you?
I got to tell you guys, I mean, you know, for a guy whose team went 6-6, I'm pretty darn good.
Well, are you happy with Tom Herman or not?
You know, well, look, here's the thing. I mean, no, not really, because I'm not a big Tim Beck guy. I think that it's the first year. On the one hand, we've had 5 different offensive coordinators in the last 5 years. So at some point, you got to, like, stake the flag and, you know,
Why? Wait, whoa. What are you doing with your phone? Because it's going. Mama.
Hey, you got me now?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah, at some point, though, you got to get consistency, so we'll see. I mean, I think he's going to get it done. But, you know, I thought Dennis Franchione was going to get done in A&M, and I was wrong about that. So,
sure,
now,
you did.
I didn't think Mike Sherman was going to get it done, and I was right about that. I don't think Jimbo Fisher is going to be – he's going to be an eight-win guy. I mean,
this is about you. Why do you keep making it about the Aggies? This is about you and the Longhorns.
I'm just drawing analogies, Dale, about, you know, the projection of how
you crowbarred Franchione into this conversation. How long has Franchione not been the Aggies coach?
What the hell, Franchione?
Well, God bless him. Hey, by the way, so the only other, you know, but honestly, glad to have you guys back together. Along, you know, I know a lot of people are excited about it, and I certainly am, and I don't really call in much anymore. But that might pick up. I'm probably going to pick up some now. But I'm going to tell you the other thing, though, besides you guys, you know, being on the air yesterday, I took my oldest to her first full Texas game, right, Saturday night or Friday night. And obviously we didn't get the W. But it was like watching all of these years of preparation, you know, every morning taking them to school, playing in the eyes of Texas fight. You know, teaching them all the songs, and then it all kind of came into play. Like, she knew all the words. She was cheering, and she did a great job. And she says, Daddy, my oldest says, Daddy, why do we not like Texas Tech? And I said, well, Bailey, it's not so much that we don't like Texas Tech. As a matter of fact, you know, on the one hand, they at least weren't a bunch of chicken bleeps and didn't want to leave the conference because Texas was bludgeoning them every year. They at least stuck around to keep, you know, their end of the deal up, unlike some other teams we can think of. I said, and plus, you know, we need schools like Texas Tech. You need schools like Tech and U of H. I go, not everyone can get into a good school like Texas. So we need those schools. And she says, Daddy, you're saying if I don't do good in school, I won't get into Texas. I might have to go to Texas Tech. I said, that's right. You don't get good grades, you wind up at a place in the middle of nowhere with a team that's referred to as the Sand Aggies. She says, Daddy, I'm studying every night. So, in short,
it was a
nice
learning.
To see these kids figuring it all out, you know? She didn't want to go to some school that she has to go to because you can't get into a good school.
It was a learning experience, right?
Yeah.
Hey, here's James is here. What's up, James?
How you doing, Lance?
Good. Our friend Scott is on the line. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah. Is this Longhorn Scott?
Yeah.
I got the people whose heads I occupy already dusting off and dusting call in.
They had a better record, Scott.
Hey, what's that? Scott, so when you were telling your daughter this, was this over Sunday brunch at the country club with your uppity life?
Yeah, exactly. I was waiting on Winston to bring the car around. We were just having a chat about it. Yeah.
Yeah. While you're getting head coaches that lost to Navy, I think we're about to get one that wins national championships.
Well, that let's see how he does. I hope you do well, man. I wish you all the best. And frankly, sounds like you're getting a good deal. $10 million buyout, 7.5 a year. I mean, eventually, maybe in 5 years from now, you'll have three coaches on the payroll. So I think that works out pretty good. And listen,
yeah, that works out great. But I mean,
and win like that's all y'all have ever done. So he ought to pick it right up and keep knocking them down. I mean, what? I know it's been since 39.
The ball's on Scott to be this brash after losing a Tech at home and blowing that fourth quarter lead.
That's, yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
Some stones.
There's some absolutes in life. Mm-hmm. There are some absolutes in life. Despite the fact that my team sucks balls, it's still a superior school, and it has a superior athletic background. And we didn't take our ball and go home after getting punked every year for years and years. They say, we're just not going to play anymore. We're going to go to this other conference so we can be Alabama's biatch.
James,
biatch.
Would you like Scott, to respond,
Scott,
James?
Scott, y'all were trying to get into the Pac-12 as fast as you could because you're trying to get strung by Oklahoma every year.
Well, you would have been there. In the SEC actually, in a minute. No, let's talk about minute. That. Let's
Boy,
talk about
get
this.
A nerve. You hear that?
Why don't you play you Kansas and Kansas State every year and Iowa State? You can call it good.
Scene.
Okay.
End scene. I think he had a nerve when he hit the Pac-12 nerve.
Well, but Oklahoma was going with him.
Well, they kept getting strummed? Is that what you're saying?
Well, apparently. I don't think it was because Oklahoma was strumming him. I think it was I think that everybody was jumping off that ship like a bunch of rats. That's what that was. Because the Big 12 ship.
It sure seemed a little scary, but now what they're left with is a really quality football conference. That's all right.
It was actually better this year. It was actually a good conference this year.
As long as Gary Patterson's got his stuff together, things seem okay.
They still need to go to 12 teams, though. Put two teams in. Just put two.
That ain't going to matter.
It's not going to matter. Who are you going to put in to make that
game? I mean, I'm all for Houston getting in.
Houston. I got no problem with
that. I don't know that all of a sudden we're going to say, hey, now we're talking.
No, but it's not legitimate with the 10 teams and a playoff. Here's the deal. And two teams that already, it's just not.
They need
two more teams.
The conference as a whole needs Texas to be relevant. There's just certain conferences. The Big Ten's better. You know, Wisconsin's always, they always handle their business. But they're better when Ohio State and or Michigan as a conference.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the SEC's better when Alabama and Auburn are playing that game. And when LSU is good. Yeah. Absolutely. And USC. The Pac-12 needs USC to be
good. It's just true. And the Longhorns and Oklahoma Sooners are two teams that, you know, you want them to be strong from a conference standpoint. I'm not necessarily saying West Virginia or TCU wants it, but it just is. Yeah. That is what it is.
All right, 743 ESPN 97.5, 713-78. That was old school right there.
It really is too bad that Texas isn't good. I mean, it breaks my heart that they're not.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
I mean, I don't know if I've seen a program ever operate an offense for three consecutive years, never in rhythm. I don't think I've ever seen that.
That was, their offense is special.
Their offense is not special. It is disappointing.
By special, I think you know what I mean.
Yeah. And Connor Williams is going pro.
Connor Williams said, hey, I'm not playing in a bowl game, and I'm going pro. All right.
Yeah, you don't want to put any more bad tape out there because there's plenty of it this year.
744, ESPN Freaky Deke next. You want to go to the Freakster?
Let's get the Freaky Deaky
right
in here.
Next, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 748 ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, and Dell with you here at 713-780-3776. What about the Freakster? What about Freaky Deke showing up?
Freaky Deaky, he is the official freak the industry.
You got some freak music?
It was playing.
It is? I can't hear it.
Freaky. What's going on, man?
The one say freak?
On the squeaky. What's
man,
up, Freaky
Deke? What's going on, man? You know, I feel like a 44-year-old kid whose parents got divorced and then they got back together.
Well, I guess that's a good thing if you're 44.
I mean, yeah, you know, Lance kind of warned me in the divorce, and then, John, you got Gilbert.
I did get Gilbert.
That wasn't right.
That wasn't right.
Because we have Freaky Deaky. He lays it down every year with the rules and new happenings of Side Piece Day, Side Chick Day, which is freaky. It's before Valentine's Day, right? Did we lose him?
Where's Freak?
No, I'm here.
There he is.
Hey, when is Side Chick Day? What's the date?
It's before Valentine's, right?
No, it's after.
It's after Valentine's. After.
Yeah, because your main chick can't get leftovers.
No. Right. Okay. Well, we'll go through I don't want to spoil it. We'll go through the rules again.
We got that later on, man. But so this whole reunited and it feels so good thing. So let me tell you a secret. I don't know if y'all know, but Dale and Cougar Tonight, KJ, they kind of talk. So I get this text, and KJ said something like, Dale said Freaky Deacon's not gonna call us because he only talks to Lance. And so my response was, yeah, he's right, because I haven't listened to morning radio since Lance left the radio. So when I get this inbox from Lance, and it's real vague, like, hey, this is it, but don't talk about it. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, I don't talk about it. And then I see the announcement, and I was like, here we go again. We putting the band back together. All we missing is a couple of more, key figures, and the synergy is back, man. So, how are we gonna tackle this thing? What are we gonna handle? How are we gonna handle this new beginning? What are we going into? Because there's a lot been going on, and I miss talking to y'all collectively about it.
Well, you got us back. You can talk to both parents now.
That's good. Well, no more two Christmases. Well, I was only getting one Christmas anyway because John was deadbeat.
December 22nd, Christmas at Klein's. Okay?
I'm coming.
I know you'd be there.
Hey, are you going to be, I already told you, we've got somebody local who wants to film you doing segments as the 100th Santa, the Santa that keeps it 100 with kids and not just tells kids they'll get whatever they want.
No doubt. Hey, I'm the most 100th Santa you could be because I just had a 100 conversation with my Christmas with my kid on the way to school.
I know you did. That's why you got cast in the role.
We had such a 100 conversation this morning about some brand called Supreme, and then when I pulled it up on the internet to see what Supreme was, I was like, oh, hell no, bro. What the hell are you thinking?
What is that?
You're in the seventh grade. Supreme, I'm telling you, they sell $200 backpacks, man.
So, what? And a kid wants a $200 backpack?
What the bleep?
Man, this Supreme stuff, dude, it pops up like on Thursdays, and then it's gone in minutes. In minutes.
No kid.
Supreme backpack. Here it is. I'm Googling.
Supreme
backpack. Oh, my God. Louis Vuitton Supreme. $9,000. What?
What?
Backpack 3M reflective. $439. Supreme backpack black. $285.
Get busy.
What?
No, don't show my wife that. She'll buy it. I'll have four at the house.
Just to say she's had it?
Yep.
I've got the latest Supreme. Do you?
It was only 9,000.
Oh man, I'm glad you hit me to this one because now I got to be on the lookout. Now it's one of those things where my ears, if I hear any of my kids say, "Mom, I want Supreme," come in here. That's going to be one of those things I'm listening for.
You ain't even getting a Supreme pizza, kid. All right.
look, man.
Dad joke.
That was a dad joke.
So my kid goes to. He grew up in the urban area. He went to urban elementary school, but he goes to a little different middle school now. Mm-hmm. We weren't talking about Supreme when he was going to the other school. Mm-hmm. But now that he's at this new middle school,
bougie.
Oh, man.
Now you got a bougie son.
Bougietto. He's more bougietto than, you know, bad and bougietto.
Daddy, I want this Supreme.
Yeah.
Supreme, get your ass out of this bougie ass school. You're not getting a $300 backpack.
Ain't no way.
Man, but look, man, it's good to have y'all back. You know, we're gonna touch base more and more, and so we'll chop it up a little bit more. It's good.
All right. Be on the lookout in the inbox for the 100th Santa filming sessions. We're going to have to get that going sometime soon.
All right, freak.
Okay, cool. That's a bad house.
Chives said, legit surprise you never heard of Supreme. Biggest hype beast brand of all time. I swear to God, I've never heard of Supreme, but I'm also not in the backpack game.
Well, I'm surprised I haven't. My daughter, are you kidding me?
Must not have been big when she was...
Well, she probably knows all about it. And
she does,
may have
I'm sure.
it. And I don't even know.
She might. How old is
Dad,
she now?
I need. She's 20?
Yeah, she might have had it 19. Jump off like maybe it's gotten big just 2-3 years and
yeah. Oh no, she probably got it.
But you know what? What am I saying? Acting like backpacks are done after junior high. Grown ass people are rolling with backpacks.
Well, no, at college everybody's got a backpack.
But grown ass people in their 40s. Yeah,
I carry my laptop in.
You know
it,
what?
Though.
If I'm being honest, actually, the backpack thing when you're traveling instead of having a walk-on bag, if you can pack enough clothes in it,
you can bring your backpack and a bag.
Oh yeah.
And load it up.
As far as the Supreme thing is concerned, Raheel made that the logo for the Raheel and Dell Show. If you look at that logo, it's just Supreme.
The red?
It's just the Supreme
that's
logo with their names in it.
That's Raheel. If that's not Raheel.
He wants to be young.
Stop. You want to talk about bougie. Now, first of all, he's appropriated our culture. He bought flannel. he lives. He goes to Katie Mills Mall for Black Friday. We're having this conversation in our in cubicle life yesterday, and I'm like, "Are you appropriating my culture?" He goes, "Oh yeah, yeah. I live out in Richmond, Rosenberg.
Yeah.
I go to Katie Mills Mall for Black Friday shopping." I said, out of nowhere, I just said, like we were, and he goes, "I was having a beef shawarma sandwich with Baba Ghanoush yesterday," and he's like, "Huh, cultural appropriation." I said, "Well, And then out of nowhere, it came to me. I said, "Do you have lawn treatment services at all, like a True Green or whatever?" He goes, "Oh yeah, yeah." I was like, "Oh, mm-hmm. Here's another check mark in the cultural appropriation."
7:55. 7:55. Nate Griffin's going to join us here. We're going to be on Channel 26. Everybody, if you want to see us too, I don't know why you'd want to do that. But
I see them too every day, and I don't get it.
No, I don't know why people would.
Yeah, why would you tune in?
Why would you tune in? How about Nate? He did a tease one time. He teased during a radio show that he was coming up on our radio show.
What do you mean?
He did it. Okay, come when we come back, we'll be right here talking with John and Raheel about blah, blah, blah. What the bleep? Are we now? This radio show is so insignificant that you're using it as a tease? What the bleep?
He wasn't wrong.
Can I read this? There's a... Nah, better not. This is an earmuffs. I think kids are still getting dropped off.
You think kids are on their way to school?
Are kids still getting dropped off? Well, the guy's Twitter account is the red.
The red what?
Butt plug.
The what? No one, no?
Red butt plug.
A bump? A plug? Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
He just said, "John and Lance, Longhorn Scott sucks the sweat off of a dead man something." Can we read that before are the kids getting out of the
car? You've already given it all they needed.
Mommy?
Mommy, what's that something Mr. Lance is talking about?
757 ESPN 975. That's nice.
Dead men don't sweat there. I let love down the drain. There's the pitch,
slow and straight. My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.